Hi, and welcome to Traditional Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Carl Levick. Kiro Maestros, also known as the Wisdom Keepers of the Andes, hold some of the most powerful medicine this planet has to offer. Much like the Amazonian healer, the Kiro have been able to preserve their healing traditions since pre-Columbian times. And in today's episode, we're going to go over how Kiro Maestros perceive energy and why they live up to their name as Wisdom Keepers of the Andes. If this is the first time that you're tuning into this podcast, let me tell you a little bit about what you can expect to hear. In this podcast, we talk all things Amazonian and High Andean Kiro healing of Peru. For over 9 years, I've been volunteering for various healers, and for more than half of that time, I have spent it with Amazonian healers and Kiro healers of Peru. This podcast is really about me distilling all that experience, all that knowledge, so that you can feel closer to these traditions. And as always, if you're looking for authentic traditional indigenous healing, look no further. Check out traditionalmedicinemiami.com. We work on a very special project with the Kiro community to connect their world-renowned healers with the people who need them. So whether you're looking to alleviate anxiety, depression, addiction urges, or maybe you're just looking to improve and grow, whether it's in your career or personal life, check out some of our plans. And if there's anything we can do, go ahead and reach out to us. We'll be happy to connect you. All right, so let's get started on today's episode regarding how Kiro Maestros perceive energy. Now, before we get started, I would recommend you check out episode 6, Who Are the Kiro? Episode 7, What is the Kiro Tradition All About? Episode 3, What is at the Core of Ancestral Sciences? And episode 28, How Our Minds Interpret Energy? I know that kind of sounds like a lot, but those episodes are going to give you everything that you need to have this kind of foundation to really appreciate what we're about to talk about in this episode. The Kiro are an indigenous group from the High Andes of Peru who have been able to preserve their culture and their healing traditions since pre-Columbian times. They are incredibly genius when it comes to working with the energetics and spiritual aspects of reality. They have been able to master and simplify incredibly complex concepts in energetics. I often tell people how blown away I am by the Kiro Maestros because they live such full lives, and it seems like, almost without trying, they have been able to reach very high levels of understanding regarding the spiritual and energetic aspects of reality. Kiro Maestros have families. Kiro Maestros master incredibly beautiful weaving patterns. They're able to farm. They're able to tend to their llamas. They have this very beautiful, rich community life, and at the same time, they're still able to surpass many other spiritual traditions in terms of their understanding of the spiritual and energetic aspects of reality. If the Kiro had a motto, it would be work smarter, not harder. In the healing world, these Kiro Maestros are what Bach, Chopin, and Beethoven are to music. They are that masterful and impressive when it comes to understanding and working with the spiritual and energetic aspects of reality. Now, their genius isn't limited to only healing and doing prophecies and very serious matters. It is always kind of spilling out into their day-to-day life. I want to share with you two instances where that wisdom, that knowledge really kind of just spilled out into the day-to-day life very casually. One day, a very big group of us decided we were going to go and hike Malkayacta, which is a very old ancient city that belonged to the Incan Empire. Malkayacta is said to be the first Incan city where the first Inca was born, on Puma Orco, which is a sacred mountain. And on Puma Orco, this Inca passed on the wisdom, passed on the knowledge, the initiations that gave birth to the Incan Empire and the Incan spiritual traditions. Now, because it is a pretty long hike up to Malkayacta and there were so many of us, we broke up into different groups and we were chatting within that group. And I ended up in the group with the Kiro youth that were about 15 to 18 years old. This was the first time that I went to visit them. And so me and the kids went hiking and I had a lot on my mind that particular trip. And I dropped some coca leaves on the ground. And Rumi, who is about 15 years old, says, "Ah, I could see that you're concerned because come, see how the coca fell on the ground." And that particular way that it fell on the ground had indicated to him that I was concerned. I was really blown away at how easy it was for these kids to read me. Simply by the way that I had accidentally dropped some coca leaves on the ground, he was able to read that and able to find out all of these things. Another time, I went hiking with a group of local Peruvians that study and work with the Kiro, along with some guests that came to visit the center where the Kiro and these local Peruvians work from. And at that point, I had been in Peru for a few weeks and I had been learning with the Kiro. I had been receiving initiations and things like this. One of the Peruvians that were with us were really blown away at how fast I would hike and how I was always leading the pack. And this really caught his attention, really intrigued him. He was really scratching his head about this because he didn't understand how me, not being a local, not being used to the terrain, was out hiking all of the local Peruvians. And he thought, you know what, there must be an energetic or spiritual reason why she's able to do this. So he went ahead and he asked one of the Kiros what the source of my strength and stamina were, because he knew that the Kiro look at things in a very spiritual and energetic way. And that's exactly what he did. And I was right there when he asked Kusikoya, a Kiro maestra, what was going on. And very casually, she just looks at him and says, Mother Earth is calling her. And she hears that call. And she's eager to answer that call. This is why she's so fast. This is why she's so strong. Because Mother Earth is calling her and she is willing to go the distance to answer that call. And to me, that was really interesting and something that really resonates now more than ever. But she had already seen that in me just by the way that I was hiking. So I mentioned how a 15-year-old could tell what was on my mind just by the way that I accidentally dropped some coca leaves on the ground. And also how a Kiro maestra was able to know all about me just by the way that I hiked. And she didn't even have to see me. She just heard about it. And she, without even having to think very much, she already knew what was going on. Now, I'd like for you to keep in mind, they're very effective in passing on this wisdom, because through their initiations, people are able to have the energetics that they need in order to reach higher levels of consciousness, reach higher levels of wisdom. All of that stuff is passed on in the community. There isn't just one Kiro guru or one Kiro high priest. Everything is democratic. And no one sees things in this kind of way. Nobody has to bow in front of anyone. This is not a thing. They're able to all grow in this path and they're all able to have this power. And it's very effective. As you can see, even children are able to see the world and have the kind of skills, have the kind of energetics needed in order to see it in a very advanced way. For the Kiro, it's very beneficial, very important that people blossom into their own medicine, because everyone has their own medicine to offer to the community. So for them, the more people can blossom and develop into the best version of themselves, the better it's going to be for everyone. So I shared with you some instances where the Kiro's genius spills out very casually, very effortlessly in their day-to-day life. But these are, you know, events of very low consequence. What about energetic complications, very serious ones? How are the Kiro genius? How are they the Bach, the Chopin, the Beethovens of the energetic and spiritual healing traditions? Why are they seen as the wisdom keepers of the Andes? Now, I am going to share with you a very serious spiritual complication that I had come across and that I had three different healers take a look at. These three different types of healers were able to assess the problem and they had the chance to take their stab at trying to resolve this energetic complication. The three different types of healers that I had rounded up were the Amazonian healers, the High Andean Kiro healers, and someone that was healing with candles, crystals, and angels. I'm going to call her the Candle Lady from here on out. Now, here was the challenge. Someone was being chased by a demon. This was the way that some Amazonian healers were able to see this problem as. This was how the Candle Lady was able to see this problem. But the Kiro never saw it as a demon. The Kiro said this was always an atraso. This was a delay in the field. The Kiro also recommended that this person needed to grow beyond their current limitations and had recommended that they receive initiations with their tradition. Now, the Amazonian healer didn't know exactly what to do in this particular case and just said, be careful, because I do see this demon in pursuit. Now, the Amazonian healer did try a few things. They tried baños de enflorecimiento. These are flower baths that are meant to help this person's energetics and spiritual essence to blossom into the next stage of their development. But unfortunately, this wasn't the medicine that they needed. It wasn't powerful enough. It wasn't potent enough. And it just didn't unlock this particular challenge. So they knew and they said, listen, it is still in pursuit. This demon is still in pursuit. So please be very careful. Now, the Candle Lady, without being told a single word, also could see this demon in pursuit and had her own recommendations as to how to resolve this. And she says very confidently, here's what's going to happen. You have to buy a $30,000 golden box. Yes, a real golden box. And then we're going to put the demon inside of this golden box. We're going to bury it so that it never comes out. And that is how this problem would be resolved. And also, of course, I'm going to need some money to do all of that. So maybe it could run you up to $50,000. And I kind of wish I was lying, but this was a very real recommendation that was made to resolve this particular problem that we're talking about. And just when you thought it couldn't get any more sketchier with the candle lady, she goes on to say, hey, shh, don't tell anybody about these recommendations. It can't get out. Otherwise, the demon will find out and then we can't actually go and implement this plan. Yikes. That is really, really messed up. That is like a huge red flag, right? So at this point, it was long overdue that we went over to the wisdom keepers of the Andes, the Quero Maestros, to find out and get to the bottom of what exactly this whole demon in pursuit thing was. At this point, everyone had seen the demon. It was like everyone had perceived this energy, this energetic complication in the same kind of way. So when we went to see the Quero about this problem, we were not holding back. We thought it was pretty much understood that there was a demon in pursuit. So we say, hey, so what's going on with this demon in pursuit in this particular case? And they looked at us and they said, what demon? The demon that's in pursuit. What is up with it? And I can tell when we asked Inca, who is a Quero Maestro that gave me my first initiations, that he was really annoyed when we kept on asking about these demons. And he would just answer, atraso, delay. It's just an atraso. It's just a delay. What you are seeing is a delay in the field. That's what you're seeing. There is no demon. The other thing that had to take place were initiations, because this person was being asked to grow beyond their current limitations. This is why they kept on so-called being chased by demons. Now, the story that I shared with you is actually my own. When I went to the Amazon of Peru, I was feeling very, very sick. I had very bad depression and it was really crippling. I couldn't even get up and do normal things, so I went out to drink. At this point, I was volunteering for a few different healers and they had some background with traditional indigenous healers who had trained them and had given them initiations, but their training went only so far. Mostly what they were doing was mastering various disciplines all at the same time, and they had kind of this multidisciplinary new age approach to healing. Now, they were able to do some things that were kind of impressive. There was one time where I had a complication and I went to them and they were able to resolve it. And that was the first time that I had realized that there is an energetic and spiritual aspect to this reality. And I basically said, how did you do that? And I stuck around to learn as much as I could. Now, when I came to them about this particular depression, this complication that was expressing itself as depression, they told me, they were very honest with me about their own healing capacities. And they said, unfortunately, our medicine is not strong enough to help you. We are really over our heads with this one. And I'm still so grateful to them for really being honest about their own limitations and their own capacity for healing, because if it weren't for that honesty, I wouldn't have gone on this journey to finding incredible healers and the most potent medicine this world has to offer. Once I was able to resolve this problem, the ayahuasca showed me everything. She showed me why it happened. She showed me who I was. She showed me all kinds of things. And she explained to me, Cara, you better run, because you're going to need to run and grow really, really fast, because not only can I see you, but also bad things are going to be able to see you too. And, why don't you even stay here in the Amazon? Because you're going to have to grow and you're going to have to grow very quickly in order for you to be safe. And it's going to be a challenge for you. Now, I thought that that vision was very interesting. And I had heard about other people being chased by so-called demons. I heard that the Dalai Lama is rumored to be chased by a demon. And in the Amazonian jungle, I became very good friends with Amazonian healers, and one of them in particular told me and verified without me saying a word that there was a demon after me, and this is how this whole thing came about. Now, once I started to grow with the Quero, once I started to go down that path and I was able to take the recommendations that they gave to me, There were no longer demons chasing after me, and no one else could see that anymore in the energetic and spiritual aspects of reality. And so it was really clear that these demons that we were seeing were actually just manifestations of this energetic and spiritual complication, this event that was happening. It wasn't that it was an actual demon. It was just that it was a dangerous situation. Could it have hurt? Yeah, it could have been bad if I didn't kind of figure this out. But I did. And it was only there to motivate me to grow. And sometimes it's hard for us to understand that. But the Kira understand this just fine. They see beyond these illusions that manifest for us when we're looking at energetic and spiritual energies. Now, let me illustrate to you the genius of the Kira and how they perceive energy with the help of shadow puppetry. For shadow puppetry, you need to turn off all the lights, you need a flashlight, and all you do is put the flashlight behind your hand. In this way, you can kind of project shadow figures onto the wall and have a lot of fun with that. When I was little, my dad used to love to do shadow puppetry, and he would do one in particular, which was a dog, and he would kind of open the dog's mouth and close the dog's mouth and talk for that dog shadow puppet on the wall. So here's the scenario that is really going to illustrate the genius of the Kira and how they perceive energy. So we have this rabid dog, all right, a shadow puppet on the wall, a rabid dog that is really scary. And we have three people in that room. One person says, "I don't know what to do about that dog, but it sure is scary. Let's be careful with that dog." The second person says, "I know what to do with that dog. We're going to put a very expensive collar and we're going to put it in a golden cage. That way it doesn't harm anyone. That is what I suggest." And then the last person is the Kira Maestro, who says, "Okay, why don't we just turn off the flashlight that's causing that really rabid dog to occur? And why don't we just turn on the lights of the room? Because I'm really bored of this game anyway." This really illustrates the genius of the Kira and why they are seen as the wisdom keepers of the Andes. Kira Maestros are able to see beyond the illusion of these energetic phenomenons, these spiritual phenomenons, manifesting in these kinds of images and these kinds of visuals for us. They understand what is at the root of it. They have simplified everything to such a degree that they are very effective in tackling these problems. Now, back to the issue that I had mentioned, the Amazonian healers were able to help tremendously. They have very powerful medicine. They just didn't know how to go about solving this particular problem. And this led me to the candle lady, who could see the so-called demon in pursuit, but didn't have the kind of wisdom, didn't have the kind of medicine to actually resolve the problem. Now, I gotta say, the candle lady did do some good work, very sloppy work, but she did do some good work. And for that, it's cool. Was it worth the amount of money she was charging? Absolutely not. And for that solution that she had recommended, it would have been a complete waste of money and it would have never solved the actual problem. It would have never tackled it head on. So let's recap on today's episode. The Kira's genius, the Kira's way of perceiving energy is very simple. It is very much simplified to the bare minimum. When our minds, when this world is interpreting energy or spiritual phenomenon, whether that is in a weird bark, whether that is in cold air around us, right? When so-called ghosts come around, when it is a demon or anything like this, okay? When it is in bad dreams and all these kinds of things, the Kira don't get riled up about these images because they are illusions to them. They go beyond the illusion to the actual energy source. They don't get too caught up in trying to dominate, trying to tame those illusions. They don't work with the illusions. They work with the source of that energy. So in the case of the shadow puppetry story I had told you or illustrated for you, while everyone's getting riled up about the rabid dog on the wall, they're like, "Okay, well, let's just turn off the flashlight and turn on the lights through the room." They're that kind of genius. They're the genius that goes beyond most of the limitations that most people have regarding how they view and how they work with the energetic and spiritual aspects of reality. They're the people that see the scary shadow puppetry on the wall and aren't too impressed. They just turn around and turn off the flashlight that is making that scary figurine on the wall. They are really, really cool. So that's the end of today's episode. I hope you learned something new and have something new to consider. If you're on Instagram, we're trying to make friends. We want to know what your cat looks like and what they're up to on the weekend. So go ahead and follow us. We are Traditional Medicine Miami. Also, if you want to check out our website, traditionalmedicinemiami.com, we have all kinds of different plans. And if there's any way that we can help, go ahead and send us a message. We'll be happy to help in any way that we can. Thank you again for hanging out with me. I hope you're having a great day or night, wherever you may be. And I look forward to hanging out with you again soon.